What's going on, wrestling fans? Welcome into another edition of Near Falls in the Whipfield. Riding solo tonight. Kaz has something going on for work, so it's just your boy D Hall on the controls. Super jam-packed show for you guys. So pumped up to get into it. A lot of stuff. We got a lot of breakdown from tournaments the last week. A lot of dual meets to get into. Previewing dual meets for this week. Tomorrow is a massive days for duels. And I have two great guests for you guys. So without further ado, let's hit the intro music.
To the Near Falls Web Video Show, where DR and Kaz are gonna tell you all the things you wanna know. Whether it's Trinity or Spencer Lee or Mr. Kurt Angle, just ask Vinny Webby, a Ken and Mac for sure. They got the interviews to serve your soul. Because it's Near Falls in the Whipfield.
My main man, Kenny Sokic, as always, bringing us in. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Very, very good stuff. Okay, guys. Super pumped up to get into today's show. A lot of stuff. First things first, I went out to the Burrell Kiske match last week. That was an absolute blast to see wrestling in the AK Valley. Very, very cool stuff. I really enjoyed going out there, seeing the tradition, and you know, the towns, they understand wrestling, both Kiske and Burrell. It was super cool to see. Obviously, the Westmoreland Sports guys were there doing a top-notch broadcast, which really they bring a professionalism and something that is just unrivaled across any region in our sport. What they do, what those guys do over there is really, really, really something special. And we should be appreciative. Smitty is one of the best play-by-play guys in the sport of wrestling, not just in the Whipfield, not just around. He is one of the best. I think that anyone that listens to him will agree with that. So there's my little rant on West Moco Sports Network. I love those guys. I love what they do, and I love how they do things. So right into the Burrell Kiske match, you know, I was able to get in there, check a couple, you know, go watch the warm-ups. I went back and saw the room. That was super cool to see the room. Josh Shields had those guys ready to go, man. He gave a speech. I caught the tail end of it right as I was walking out, man. He had me wanting to run through a wall, you know, and I'm not even a Burrell or Kiske guy, but, you know, he's talking about pride and putting the town on your back and, you know, they wrestled like it, you know. I'll just say that they went out there. Burrell was really, really impressive. They ended up with the victory. I believe it was 42-21. So I was super impressed with that whole setup, the match, the gym was absolutely packed all the way up into the wooden bleachers. I sat all the way up at top, up in the middle. So man, that was a lot of fun. The atmosphere was cool. Anytime a big moment happened, you could tell. So yeah. Kudos to Burrell. Kudos to Kiske. Well done. I really enjoyed my first experience out in the AK Valley for that legendary duel. Okay, moving on into the weekend. So, you know, really for me, I'll just kind of start with where I was at, and then I'll run into some of the results that I saw at some of the other tournaments. But on Saturday, I snuck out to Upper St. Clair and, you know, it was a little bit surprised. My brother-in-law told me that they were doing, a surprise duels for Mackenzie McGuire. You know, some of you guys that have seen it, Mackenzie McGuire did a long form episode with me in the summertime, got a lot of love for him, man, and how he does things. He's just a smooth character, man. So cool and collected. And, you know, they made it a point of emphasis to get him back in the Upper St. Clair program. One of the most, or if the most successful wrestler in their program, you know, won a state championship, four-time Division I qualifier for Kent State. So they made it a point of emphasis to, you know, name the duels after him. You know, there was a big banner when you walked in. I took a picture of it. But, man, that's really, really cool stuff to see an administration invest in alumni. And then in turn, you know, Mac giving back to the kids, he's going to the youth practices. He's rolling around with these kids and, you know, if it's anything like I was when I was growing up, man, like Ronnie Torquini used to run around our room whenever I was at, when I was a youth wrestler. And you guys know, you know, Coach Torquini over at Trinity, he's a legend, man. And I just looked up to him, like, you know, he was just something different. So just having that presence in the room and the school investing in it, and I just love to see it. I hope that Upper St. Clair just keeps on grinding and finding some traction, as you know, they have numbers. I was telling my brother-in-law, first time I've seen in a while, they got a bunch of numbers. So they did well with their duels. Very cool to see that. Mac was very surprised. I was, you know, appreciative to be there and experience that. So that was very cool. So after that, jumped in the car, took off. Kudos to my wife. You guys, anytime I'm out somewhere and I bring my wife somewhere, like, give her a nux, tell her thank you, because she's the one who, you know, deals with my kids whenever I don't have NJ, and lets me go and do these things to cover this sport for you guys. So anytime you see my wife and I have her drug out to a wrestling tournament, a wrestling match, you know, give her some love, because, you know, she deserves it. She's the best. So I jump in the car. I go out to Central PA, right out by Log Haven, Central Mountain High School, the King of the Mountain tournament. I get there right as the semis start. So I was super pumped up to see that. I believe it was Mitch Rupert on Twitter tweeted out the semi final matchups. Was, you know, he did a really good job covering the event. I you know, was excited to go out there and see. Yeah, Mitch Rupert. I just wanted to make sure I had that name right. So he was tweeting out the semis. He was tweeting out the finals. Results, matchups, things of that nature. So I was able to get out there for the semis. I took some videos of the kids and threw them up on Twitter. But, you know, we had, I think it was 9 guys in the semis. I forget how many we pushed through. I know, you know, we ended up with, I think, 3 champions. Luke Willishell took first. Andrew Benny took first. Sean Taylor took first. So, you know, going out to the King of the Mountain, that tournament was really, really impressive. That I like the setup. They put the kids in the back. They have the kids go into classrooms in the backside of the school. So the kids kind of get away. They kind of have a place of their own to go to. So in a sense, I kind of like that. So checking out that tournament, 7 guys or 9 guys were in the semis. It started off for me. Watching Caden Harbert and Luke Willishow, that was, you know, an impressive match. I knew that, you know, obviously I'm close with the West Allegheny program. I knew Caden was going to be kind of up against it because his strength is scrambling, and I don't think there's anyone better in the state right now at scrambling than Luke Willishow. He was super impressive, man. Just anything that Caden threw at him, Willishow was able to counter. And ended up getting him in like a kind of like a wacky low leg cradle and stuck him. So, you know, we'll talk more about Luke as we get in, later on into the night. But yeah, man, super impressive weekend for Luke. Andrew Binney, another one I got to talk about for this tournament, man. First of all, him and Jacob Braun in the semis. You know, Jacob Braun, he's got a motor, man. Gave him everything he can handle. But Andrew Binney just kept coming. So he was able to get the major decision. Jacob Braun bounced down. I believe he took 5th place. I had to check on that. But so he ended up doing well. But Benny moved on to the finals. And, you know, for interesting for him, man, he found himself in a 5-3 hole going into, you know, the later stages of the third period. I believe it was like a minute left, you know. And, you know, when he gave up those takedowns, watching Andrew Binney the last couple years, the kid's just got a gas tank like no other. You know what I mean? Talking to Coach Slack, talking to Coach Powell, and those, they just confirmed, and, you know, you see it, right? He just hunts people down. He hunts it down. He finds it. So the whole third period, he's going different shots, different sides of the body. He's working for it. And he was able to sneak in an opposite leg single, collect it, and keep his feet in bounds for 2. So makes the match 5-5. He's on top. Kid stands up. He sucks him back down and gets it, you know, gets the 2 back points and was able to hang on for the, you know, the decision for the victory. But very, very impressed with Andrew Benny, as we have been all year. And, you know, he won the WOW t-shirt last week. I'm giving him more love this week. But he deserves it, man. He was down. He hunted. He found a way to win. And, you know, I was just super impressive with that match. Super impressed with that match. So moving on past that, we had a couple of other guys in the place in that tournament from the Whitfield. Obviously, we talked about Luke Willishow. Another fire matchup I saw in the Constellations, Tanner Mazanko and Leo Joseph. That match, I took a video of that. That was like a, I don't know, like a 10-10 or a 9-9 barn burner going into overtime. It was freaking awesome. Leo Joseph gave him everything he can handle. You could tell Leo Joseph, I talked to Coach Mears a little bit about the Leo Joseph and Luke Willishow dynamic. Luke Willishow moving up a little bit and getting to a bigger weight class, 121. That allowed Leo Joseph to go back down to 114, which is more of his natural weight. So it showed it here, man. He looked fantastic. Gave Tanner Mazanko everything he can handle, but Tanner ended up coming out on top. I posted the video, man, just a little bit of grit, man. It was very, very impressive match. I really liked that. Mason Kernan, he placed third from Bethel Park. I was impressed with him. He was scoring really well, both sides of the body. Had a nice little hop, step to a single. I posted that and was able to collect the leg and finish. That was cool. Ethan Higgins, he takes fourth place. Nick Jones takes fourth place. You know, Bethel Park, West Allegheny, respectively. Both Bethel Park, West Allegheny, and La Trobe, all three of these schools had really, really good showings out there at King of the Mountain. So I was super impressed with the, you know, with those schools. As well as Bethel Park had a bigger guy, took seventh place, Landon Hartman. West Allegheny had a bigger guy, Cam Dana, took seventh place. So yeah, man, just littered throughout that tournament. Those three teams, Caden Harbert, he wrestled back, took fifth after dropping a loss, like I said, to Luke Willishow. So that tournament alone, man, to see those kids do that, I was impressed. It's a nice, tough tournament out in the middle of the state. Central Mountain alone, that school there, man, they got some hammers at that school. So, and then, you know, the highlight of the, you know, the finals was Milheim and Cunningham and Kunstek, the 160-pound match. Obviously, the story is well-known with Kunstek moving back into Pottsville, got denied last year. State time, was not able to wrestling this year. But, man, Asher Cunningham, he looks impressive. Just got a motor, is really, really impressive on his feet, able to get to the legs and collect them. And, you know, just like typical Penn State guys, they figure out how to ride on top really well. So I'm assuming he's in that Penn State room working out. But yeah, he was really impressive. So yeah, that was the final matchup. Sean Taylor picks up the victory, takes home first place for West Allegheny. He collected his 100th win this year, or this tournament, I believe in the quarters he collected that. So yeah, overall good, good tournament for the Whipple out there at King of the Mountain, what is it, the middle of the state. So, yeah, man, I was super impressed. I enjoyed that tournament. I definitely, you know, I think I'm going to try to go back out there again. A little three-hour drive really wasn't too bad. Okay, a couple of things we got to get into, tie up before we get into the next big tournament, Beast of the East. We saw two of the old schools go out there, Norwin and Thomas Jefferson. Really, you know, you're looking at that. Norwin has got a couple guys that, you know, we thought had a chance to get, you know, on the podium. And obviously their lightweight hammer found a way to get on the podium. I was super impressed with him. Landon Sandin, he's one of those guys, man. I think that everyone that's familiar with the area knows he's kind of like one of the next really, really good ones out of the area, especially at the lighter weight class. He takes third at Beast, beats Keanu Dillard from Bethlehem Catholic in a 3-1 decision. So obviously look out for him, man. He's just going to keep coming, you know, take third in that tournament. And, you know, the thing about him is he loses and consolation or championship round three and just wrestle all the way back to take third. So, you know, I know that Kyle Martin and staff and I'm sure they're really, really happy with that, to see him come back and get the next best thing, so to speak. So good on Landon Sundin to come back and take third. The other guys, Thomas Jefferson. You know, I think we both are us Whippeal enthusiasts out there. We're interested to see two guys really in particular at this high level of tournament for Thomas Jefferson, that being Maddox Shaw and Bodie Marlow. Maddox Shaw gets beat in the quarterfinals out of a kid from New Jersey, 2-1 decision. Bodie Marlow makes it all the way to the semis. He loses a tight 3-1 decision. Bodie Marlow, man, he's coming, man. He looks fantastic. He takes home sixth place. Maddox Shaw takes home seventh place. So, you know, a nice little three-pack of guys placing out there at Beast of the East. Okay, next one we got to talk about, the Mount Aloysius College. And, you know, I'm going to touch on this a little bit, just kind of going to go over some of the results, because I have Coach Swink coming on a little bit later in the show. And, you know, I know we're going to dive into their performance. Connellsville takes on the first place trophy. I was impressed to see the distance in which they cleared the other schools. They had 216 points. Penns Valley only had 136. Quaker Valley, nice little double A school. They are coming. 128.5 points. They take home third place. So it was cool to see them do that well in the tournament. I know they had some really high placers. Trinity is another school in there. Triple A school, they take home eighth. Trinity is a school that we expect to see, you know, at the end of the year, how things shake out as one of the, you know, better dual teams. Seneca Valley was at this tournament. Indiana was at this tournament. So, yeah, let's dive right into it. I'm just going to go right down to the finals, man, because they're looking into some of these results. I was just kind of – I was impressed. First things first, right off the rip, Nico Fenella majoring decision over Connor Smith, 13-5. That's impressive. Nico Fenella certainly coming. Someone that, you know, we see at the Whippeal tournament do big things, but out there in Indiana, he doesn't necessarily wrestle with these guys all the time. So to see him major Connor Smith in the finals, that was really, really impressive. A couple other things to note. Kai Vioma, 133-pounder for Connellsville. He's a freshman. He's one of those guys I've been mentioning a few times. That's Lonzi's little brother. He takes home second, loses to a tough Dean Hauser from Daniel Boone, 2-1 decision. So also at the lower weight classes, 107, Bruce Anderchuk, he took second for Quaker Valley. Landon Lynn took second for Connellsville, 114. 139, interesting matchup. Blake Reiner gets a 3-0 decision over Jack Gonzalez of Quaker Valley. Two really tough seniors. I expect big things out of both of them. Blake Reiner, the AAA side, and Jack Gonzalez on the AA side. So I expect both things out of them. Moving down the list, Evan Petrovich, 145 champion. He looks fantastic, picks up a 12-8 decision. One of those guys for Connellsville has just been a mainstay of their program. You know, he's been there since he's been a freshman. He's won a lot of matches for them. So I expect that, you know, when I talk to Coach Swink here in a little bit, he's one of those leaders that Coach Swink is leaning on. Lonzi Vioma, another one of those guys. He's been one of my favorites for years. I just love the way he wrestles. He wrestles so hard, wrestles so tough, and gets stays in positions really well, and he's pretty good at getting to legs too. So that kind of wraps up. You know, we had some other guys place at, you know, going through the – they must have – I had to ask Coach about this. They must be able to enter multiple kids because they had two guys placed for Connellsville at 107. That's kind of wild. So Nolan Rice places third, and Tommy Gretz places fifth. So both those guys are at 107. You know, I'm interested. You know, they wrestled in the Constellation semifinals, so I definitely had to talk to Coach about that. But going down to the rest of the list, Dom Canale took fourth. See here, Jack Deemer took fourth. Will Turner at Indiana took third at 160 pounds. So yeah, that's rounds up the third, fourth place matches. Fifth, sixth, Connellsville, like I said, Tony Gretz. Zach Hill took sixth. Lucas Barr took fifth. That was a matchup there. Won by forfeit, but Lucas Barr takes home the fifth place finish there. Down the rest of the list, not too much else going on. Seventh place, Julian Ruggieri, Dean Devin Junka, Trinity takes home seventh. So, yeah, you know, you're going down this list. Marcus Ritchie takes home seventh, 160 pounds. It was a really nice tournament up there, Mount Aloysius College. You know, I'm excited to talk to Coach about it. His first time, I believe. It might not be his first time, but I don't remember them going out there last year. But nonetheless, a good amount of schools there. And, you know, Connellsville really just dominates. So impressive stuff there. Okay, next thing I have on the list for you guys, I've been going for about 20 minutes. I'm going to send this email over to Coach Swink. He's going to come on. We're going to recap what we just talked about, the Mount Aloysius, the Panther Holiday Classic. So super excited to have Coach Swink on and talk to him about that. Nonetheless, you look in some of the results that happened last week opposed to Burl Kiske. Kennemack, Waynesburg. We all know that Waynesburg's lost a lot. Kennemack takes home the 46-29 victory in that matchup. So the other one that I wanted to highlight, Fox Chapel beating Pine Richland last Wednesday. 44-25. That's one I was surprised to see that one. You look at the box score, you don't see a Mac Miller there for Pine Richland. So, but Pine, either way, Fox Chapel, you know, that's a pretty big deficit. So impressive stuff for Pine Richland there, Fox Chapel to get the win over Pine Richland in that matchup. Nonetheless, we'll see how the rest of that section shakes out. Quaker Valley gets a win over Keystone Oaks. Burgerstown gets a win over Jefferson Morgan. I know that Jefferson Morgan has a couple kids that are pretty tough. So, yeah, man, last week, interesting stuff down the line. There was a couple other meets. I know that Ringgold had their duels. Chartiers Valley was there. Ligonier Valley was there. Jeff Morgan, McKeesport, Albert Gallatin. So that's a nice little pack of duels out there at Ringgold. So, yeah, good weekend for the Whitfield, but let's bring on my main man right now, Coach Swink. We're going to bring in him and talk about their performance at the Panther Holiday Classic. Coach Swink, how are you, sir?
Good, Donnie. How are you tonight?
Doing really well indeed. Just went through your team's performance. Super impressive stuff. Congratulations on the first place finish.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Good team effort this weekend up there. Good tournament. Nice facility. So
yeah, that's at Mount Aloysius College, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So is that the first time you guys went up there?
It is the first time we went up there. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. I was looking through results. Were you able to enter multiple kids at the same weight class?
We were. We had four.
Okay.
They told us what weights we could, put extra in. So we got four extras in. So that's good. I really like that too.
Yeah, I saw that you had two kids placed at 107 pounds.
We did. Yeah, that's a good problem that we have.
I like that. That's a very good answer. So talk about the rest of your team's performance, man. I see that, some of your mainstays, your lineup, the Petroviches and Lonzies of the world, they take home and lead the squad, take home first place. But you had a bunch of guys come back and take home, consolation victories and placing matches. So just talk about your team's performance overall.
Sure. You talked about the two 107-pounders. They both wrestled really well. Tommy lost in the quarters to the Quaker Valley kid, who's really tough. And then Nolan lost the 3-2 decision in the semis to the boy that won it. And then those two wrestled in the Consi semis. They're battling every day. They go back and forth. Tommy wins some, Nolan wins some. But, the two really good freshmen, they're going to be hammers down the road. Not that they're not already, but they're going to develop Landon Lynn had a really good tournament at 114. He didn't have a great tournament when we went up to Williamsport, and so it was good that he got back on track, wrestled really well up at the Panther Holiday. If you go through the whole lineup, Zach Franks wrestled well, lost two close matches, one because he was too aggressive, and, that's not a bad problem. We just fix it. Kai wrestled really well. That's who he lost to in the semis at Top Hat. And, he's a two-time medalist in AAA, and it was 9-7 first time. It was 2-1 this time. It's a good battle. He's wrestling well. Joining Ruggieri, had a good tournament, 139. Seventh, eighth place match. He came back and beat the kid that put him down in the consolation round. So, that's good. We talk a lot about finishing odd, Donnie. So it's important to, in those tournaments, 1-3-5-7 is what we kind of shoot for. You mentioned Petrovich and Lonzi both had really good tournaments. They both look really good, wrestled really well. Our bigger guys, we had a lot of threes and twos and twos and two and twos. And Chris Cook finished fourth at 215. He had a good tournament. Overall, it was really good. And they had 50-plus teams there. Mm. Not a lot of people we see very often, which, I like wrestling people we don't see a lot.
Yeah, talk about that, man. That was going to be my next question. I'm looking at your most recent results. You guys wrestled Fort LaBeouf. You went up and wrestled Top Hat. You go up here and wrestle Mount Aloysius. Now, there was a couple of WPO schools there that you saw, but why is that a point of emphasis for you?
When I came 3 years ago, our schedule was already put together for that first year. And, it just seemed, talking to like Jared Kessler and Chad Ozias and those guys, like they were wrestling the same kids high level 5, 6, 7 times in a season. I was like, we don't want to do that. We'll wrestle once or twice, but we don't need to see them every weekend. So, we've kind of changed the schedule up a little bit to do that, wrestle schools outside the area. Not that we don't want to wrestle schools within the WPL, because we do, but we also want to mix it up a little bit. People who are not familiar with schools you don't see, it's good to wrestle them. Next year, our goal is to go out to the Midwest and wrestle. So maybe Kansas City or Minnesota, maybe Oklahoma, somewhere out in the Midwest.
Gotta let them win some matches, then eat some barbecue, huh?
That's right.
There you go. Good stuff. Man, talk a little bit more about your team and how you're ultimately getting these guys prepared. What is it that you're doing as, are you guys going to, PowerAid, right? This week.
Yeah.
So, is these last couple matches, setting yourself up for what is PowerAid?
You want to get some stiff competition before you go into that. I don't know when the first time I watched PowerAid was, which was California Christmas Tournament. It would have been maybe 76, Donnie. I was a junior high kid and went down and watched, but the way that tournament has changed through the years, and then when I was at Colonial Forge in Virginia, we used to come up quite often. We did the Ironman, we would do the East and do the PowerAid. For years we did all three of them 3 weeks in a row, and we'd pick two because the three of them they'll beat you up, those three in a row. So It'll get us ready. We've got Waynesburg on Thursday night, which is, Collins and Waynesburg is always a great event. They wrestled each other forever. We've competed. So, they beat us the last 2 years in the Whitfield in the semifinals last year and 2 years ago in the finals. So, that's always good for us to prepare to go into PowerAid as well. But, like I said, that tournament right now, and Ironman's really good. I think it and the PowerAid are the top two now.
Yeah,
I was gonna pick. When you got really good WPL kids that don't place in it, that's a really good event. So, we have that I mean, 2 years ago, Dalton Perry didn't place a power. He didn't win a state title. So
yeah, that's so true.
Yeah, I mean, it's really good, and you need that. I mean, yep. You know, we do. So you know, we just prepare. We don't change much. I've kind of got a routine that we like to do, and I've been doing for years, and we tweak it, of course,
right,
every year. But you know, it's still early in the year. Right. You know, mm-hmm. And we don't want to peak, but we want to be ready to compete at that level as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, Pennsylvania's got a long season compared to what I was used to in Virginia. You know,
a long season, man. It goes from beginning of December all the way to the middle of March. Yeah. It's a long season.
We finished the third week of February. It was our state tournament. You know, now it's the third week in March. So it's a whole nother month. So
very true.
We've had to adapt to that as well. But, you know, we work hard. We mix it up. We have a variety. We got a great room right now. You know, our numbers are up from what we did, and I see it just keep growing. Junior high program, you know, it's in great shape. Still is. Mick Lilly and his crew do a great job coaching those guys, getting them prepared to come up. You know, we run our off-season club now all year long, so. Cal Rock Wrestling Club, we got that going on. And as we talked about earlier, I think Friday is going to be our first practice in our new
let's go.
Yeah, so we're all excited about that potentially happening Friday. So.
I know the kids are excited, but I'm sure the parents and the boosters and everyone's probably just more excited because I know it's been a long process for you guys.
Yeah, everybody's been excited or really excited. Tyler Gallus, our heavyweight, he did say the other day, he said, Coach, sprints are going to get a lot longer in that room. Yeah, they are, Tyler. They're going to be a lot
heavyweight, longer. Heavyweight knows every step, baby. I remember. Okay. That's good stuff. So on a lighter note, man, we talked about you guys going away, and you go to these different tournaments. You guys were at Top Hat, and now you're up at Mount Aloysius. You know, the season's a grind. Take me inside your team a little bit. Who's one of those guys that – are one of those guys maybe to crack a joke or to make people laugh to kind of get people through the practice?
Oh, crack a joke. We had a lot of them 2 years ago. We're more business like right now.
Okay.
You know, not that we don't have fun. We do. Tyler Gallus will crack a joke. Okay. Once in a while, Chris Cook, you know, will as well. He
the big guys.
Yeah.
They'll
entertain the group, you know?
Yeah.
2 years ago, it was George Schultz. I don't know if you remember George. He was the guy that would do all that. So, but we're pretty businesslike, which is good. But we you know we have fun too. So,
good stuff. Okay, Coach. As your season winds down towards the end of the year, obviously, I know that you know it's really important for you guys to get back to the state tournament. Talk about your depth, man. How do you guys keep these numbers and keep, you know, maybe not necessarily the starter hungry, because it seems like every year you guys pull a rabbit out of your hat and it's like, who the hell is this kid? He's pretty freaking good. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You know, and we try to keep the kids engaged. You know what I mean? We find as many JV opportunities as we can, you know, like entering four kids in the varsity tournament. And this week at Top Hat, we got two additional kids in. So, you know, we do that when we can. We'll go to Virginia beginning of the new year and wrestle some duels. We'll take some extra guys in and insert those guys in the lineup, you know. And again, the junior high does a good job with that too. They went to South Fayette earlier in the year and they take two guys per weight. They're going to go to Bellefonte, take two guys per weight. Mm. So, you know, you got to keep them engaged. The wrestle-offs have been really good this year. You know, and we're really young. I mean, people don't know that at 172, Nick Rohal is the only senior that's been in the lineup. And right now he lost his last wrestle off. So, you know, they'll be going on at it again on Friday, but, you know, so we got people pushing each other, which is what makes the team good.
Is that how you guys do wrestle offs? You guys do once a week?
No, we don't do once a week. We do after our first one, we do a big one. And then it's a challenge-based system. So we've been going about every 2 weeks now, you know, and, you know, weight allowance comes. And I don't think we're going to move much in our lineup. But you know, so that's, but that's always another time where we do a wrestle off right before, you know, the 2 pounds. So we're going to do that on Friday, and then we'll see, because the schedule gets busier.
Yes, quickly, right?
Yeah, we get into January where you're wrestling, you know, every Wednesday and then every weekend. So
good stuff. Good stuff as always. Coach, thank you so much for coming on and hanging
out. Hey, buddy. Appreciate it, man. I love what you guys do.
You're the man, Coach. Keep them Falcons wrestling good. We'll see you come, you know, team tournament time, okay. I'm sure.
Sounds good.
All right.
Thanks for having me on.
Always.
Okay.
All right, guys. And that was Coach Bill Swank. We talked to him about their performance at Mount Aloysius College, the Panther Holiday Classic. Super impressed with them. Okay, so I'm going to run down a couple more things before I play for you guys. I was able to nail down the Midwest Classic heavyweight champion, Mr. Isaiah Vance, the Hempfield alumni. So I was able to nail him down. He was not able to go tonight. However, he was able to go last night. So I was able to nail him down and do, you know, I think it was like 10, 15 minute interview. So I'm going to play that for you guys here in a minute. But before I do that, I'm going to look at the upcoming week that we got coming tomorrow. The duels are going nuts tomorrow. They're all over the place. So I'll just run down some of them that I've noticed real quickly. I've noticed here, and I do need to mention Derry defeating Greater Latrobe in the Backyard Brawl. I know that the WSN boys were out there covering that match. Awesome stuff. You know, anytime you have a rivalry, AA, AAA, triple, double, I don't care what it is. If there's a little juice, I love it, man. And just, I think the schools need to cultivate that. It needs to be a healthy rivalry, and it's good stuff, man. It's really, really good for high school sports, and it's really good for high school wrestling. So kudos to Derry, kudos to Latrobe, toe in the line. Derry takes home the 31-25 victory. Very cool stuff there. And obviously, I talked about my WSN boys at the beginning of the show. So running down some of the matches, Frazier at Bell Vernon, Fort Cherry Best Center, McGuffey Burgettstown, South Fayette Char Valley. Let's see here. Fox Chapel at Kiski. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. They probably hit at the Hampton Dolls. I have to go back and check on that one. But Trinity at Moon, Baldwin at Mount Lebo, and some of the big ones. North Allegheny at North Hills. That's going to be interesting. NA, obviously, they look pretty good. They wrestled at the Kiski Duels this weekend. I'll touch on that a little bit at the end of the show. I have forgot to talk about that. But Bethel Park at Peters Township, I think that's the one I'm going to sneak out to. I'm excited for that one right there. That's kind of like a backyard brawl. Those two teams are separated by not much distance there in the South Hills. So, you know, I'm sure that both teams are excited. And I know both those teams are pretty freaking good. I saw Bethel Park do their thing at the King of the Mountain this weekend. Peters Township obviously looked pretty good at the beginning of the year at Chartiers Houston. So that will be an interesting matchup in itself. Butler, Seneca Valley, that's a big one in that section. Wrangell, Penn Trafford, Norwin at Thomas Jefferson. Those two teams just wrestled Beast of the East. Indiana at Derry, that's a big one in the AA side of things. West Allegheny at Waynesburg. That's a big one in that section. We'll see what happens there after Waynesburg. They lose a couple of guys, both sides. So Waynesburg loses some guys, and West Allegheny loses some guys to transfer and graduation. So that's a little bit of a watered down match compared to what it was last year, but still a good one nonetheless. And then going down the rest of the lineup for the week before, you know, obviously, you know, next week's the big one. We're going to get in the Powerade, and I'm super, super excited about that. But Waynesburg Central, Connellsville, that's Thursday night. That's going to be a good one. Laurel at Freedom, Southside at Newcastle. So, yeah, man, if you want to go watch a wrestling match, pick one. I mean, there's tons and tons and tons across the Whippeel. I'm sure if you're a Whippeel wrestling enthusiast, you don't have but a 25-minute drive to go watch some high school wrestling. And go watch. you know, go watch these kids wrestle. They work so freaking hard. They're in the wrestling room. It's, you know, obviously I'm biased, right? But to me, it's the toughest high school sport out there. And these kids, they grind so freaking hard, you know, and I'll go into some of these matches and there's, you know, 50, 60 people in the stands. I want like last week where I saw a Kiski Burrow, man, they're, you know, a couple hundred people in that stands. Every seat was packed. You know, I want to, you know, I wrestle in that environment. You want to talk about growing numbers, growing the sport. Go out and watch, go out and support these kids. They deserve it. They're, you know, they work their butts off. Starters, non-starters, even the kids that don't even wrestle sometimes, man, just the practices alone to get through. It's tough. It's really, really tough stuff. So that's my little rant. If you're by a school, if you want to go watch some wrestling, go watch, go support the kids, go sit up in the stands, you know, pay the $5 or whatever the hell it is to go get in there and go watch something. So yeah, that's my little rant on that. But next thing I have before I finish up with the last segment of the show, I was able to nail down Mr. Isaiah Vance. I'm going to play this interview for you guys right off the rip. You guys will notice I make a mistake per the usual, but that's the way it is, man. And I think, you know, Isaiah, it was really interesting to talk to him. You guys will notice he's super, super, you know, intelligent in his thoughts and, you know, how he talks. He's a lot of fun. It was just a lot of fun interview in general. So here is the interview with Isaiah Vance, the Hempfield wrestling alum. And, you know, I hope you guys enjoy it. Okay, joining me now on the call, UPJ Wildcat, Mr. Isaiah Vance. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Doing real good. Good. I said Wildcat, and it's actually Mountain Cat, so that's my first mess up. But nonetheless, Isaiah, congratulations on your Midwest Classic Championship. Hell of a weekend.
Thank you.
Good stuff, man. Talk me through your matches. I know that reading up on it, you just dominated on top, racked up a lot of riding time. Was that a point of emphasis going into the tournament?
For me, yeah, because last year I didn't think I emphasized riding time enough and utilize it, because I know I'm pretty strong on top, and I don't think I used it to its full potential last year. So this year I focus on it a lot, because when you can get a guy flat, especially big boys, and when you break him down – yeah, when you get them down, it's hard to get them back up, especially when there's another big guy on top of you applying all that force and pressure. And that's one of those big emphasis we talk about up at UPJ, like dominating like neutral, bottom, and on top. And I focused a good bit on top this year.
So walk me through your tournament, man. Obviously, I've had a bunch of different guys on, especially when I did the NCAA preview. A lot of them said that Midwest Classic is one of the toughest D2 tournaments in the country. Did you have confidence that you can go in there and win that?
Yeah, I'd say I had a lot of confidence going in. A lot better than the first 2 years. Mm-hmm. The first year, I made it, like, was my freshman year starting out. I got hurt in my blood round match. That kind of just, that was rough. Mm. Next year after that, had a little bit more confidence, still unsure because I was coming off that injury. Mm. But after going through all, then the third year, I was like, man, I have really nothing to lose here.
Let's go.
I train hard every day. My coaches believe in me. My teammates believe in my family. I believe in myself. I have no issue. I can go in here and dominate this tournament if I have the right mindset going in. And that's what I kept telling myself over and over again in that 6.5 hour bus ride to the warm up.
That's a grind in itself, right? Just that bus ride getting there. But, you know, it's kind of cool. You get to hang out with your teammates and, you know, make some memories.
Yeah. That's a big part of, I believe, the UPJ brotherhood, that Brothers for Life motto we have. Mm. I think that builds us up as individuals and as athletes, because when your teammate or your brother is like constantly in your corner trying to make you better, a good example would be Trayvon Gray, our 125 pounder. He's always texting me about like positivity, getting my workouts in with him all the time. I'm telling him how I'm feeling. He's always asking how I'm doing, vice versa. And that mentality alone, like there's someone constantly like there pushing me, like wanting to be better. I wake up every morning going, man, what can I do to like get a little bit better each day? Like do 100 push-ups before I go to class, or go get a quick morning run in, or take an ice bath.
Those dude, that is good stuff. That 125 heavyweight love, I feel like that's a thing, man. You see that a lot. I love to hear that. That's a cool little story. You talk about wrestling in the WPO, man. You're a WPO kid. You went to Hempfield. You had a lot of success in the WPO. Talk about how tough that is, and you know how that ultimately got you prepared for college.
When it came to the WPO, I think one of the striving factors was my grandfather, Michael Kirkling. He was also one of my coaches, and also he was one of the first state champions up at Hempfield. So going into there was always that, oh, that's Michael Kirkling's grandson. He's got to be good. So I was sitting there all the time like, man, this is about to be one of the hardest experiences of my entire life. But that mindset in the back, it didn't really kick in, I'd say, until I think 11th grade, where it's that constant mental grind. I think the first 2 years I was trying to figure myself out and how I fit in into like my own like presence on the mat and off the mat, how I am as a person, and how I reflect that in my daily life activities, like when it came to schoolwork stuff and how I am outside. So when it came, the WPO, what's the best way to describe this? It was tough, but that toughness is where you need to like put yourself in it, like throw yourself into that deep water in a sense to emerge the best you can. Don't be afraid to dive into there. And I think that's what that mindset alone is what got me through like my first year of wrestling in college, because I already had a glimpse of that mental mindset. And going into college, I knew off jump, these are all tough guys. They're all here to be number one, the best. None of them slouch off. And I knew for me to be up to that level, I have to go 10 steps above even further. And I think that's where that really helped me a lot. And then the constant presence of the coaches, my family, and my teammates also, and back at Hempfield, there was the same sense of brotherhood, I'd say, as UPJ, not as strong, because we were still like high schoolers, and everyone was still like, we had a lot of guys just come onto the team because it was like one of those things like, oh, I'm a wrestler. My friends got me into this. And they generally liked it. They liked the aspect of wrestling and they liked being there. But they didn't have like that hard mental grind like Ethan Bergnick, Ty Linsenbigler, Lucas Capusta, and a couple others. And I think that's what helped us, a lot of us, getting to where we are today.
Love that. Love that. Shout out some of them Hempfield boys. That's good stuff. Good stuff indeed. Okay, man, you talked about your coaches a lot there. Ty Reinhardt, Coach Pecora, talk about those two guys and how they've kind of built you up to where you are right now.
Coach Pecora, I'm going to have to say, is probably one of the best coaches I've had in my corner.
Let's go.
He always knows what to tell me and how to make myself better. No matter if we're in the room, out of the room, at matches, he's always there. And the biggest thing he tells me all the time is stay cool, stay calm, stay confident, stay positive. And that was one of the things I struggled with, like keeping my composure during matches, because I like used to get flared up a lot. The coach would just drill that into me all the time in the room. And the same with Reinhardt. Like when Reinhardt has a different approach, but it's similar to coaches, but it's a little more subtle, not as direct. So I can go back and forth between the two and get a general message with that back and forth coaching, which is like a really good balance for me. Because now I know, like, I can see where I need to develop, and then coach can go in it a little bit more here in this sense, vice versa. And without them, I don't think I'd be as confident and as strong as I am in college altogether, which I think is pretty cool.
Heck yeah, man. That's real cool to lean on some guys like that. It's awesome. Especially you have a different, you know, like you said, when you have two different sides of things, you can kind of see, you know, both pages. That's really good stuff. Okay, next question I have for you, man. As the season progresses, how are you continuing to prepare yourself towards the end of the year, ultimately, you know, regionals, super regionals, you know, and nationals?
one of those things is like keeping that positive mentality, always staying one step above, trying to always make myself better all the time. Because the moment I start slacking off just a little bit, there's that little bit of self-doubt that creeps in, and no athlete needs that. Because when that self-doubt creeps in, that like you're crippling yourself in that sense. Because if your mind's not right, you can be in the best condition of your life, but if your mind's not in that aspect, like ready to go, you won't be able to put all your effort that you work so hard for all the time out to show the world and to prove to yourself that you're there. So me keeping that mental mindset constantly, like good positive reinforcements, telling myself that I can do these things, people support me, and I just need to believe in that. And I'm a big believer in leaving it into like, I have all the skills, I have all the talent. I leave it all to God for a good chunk of it. God will lead me on the right path if I keep putting myself forward and being true to myself.
I love that, dude. Great answer. Fantastic stuff. I don't think I could have heard anything better than that, my friend. Good stuff. Okay, so next couple questions, a little bit softer side of things. Every time I have someone new on, I ask them this question. So give me your favorite near fall or pin you've ever been a part of.
Oh, wait, there's so many.
So think about it. As you're going through your brain, I'll give you, you know, what it means. Like, so I have had some guys, you know, teammates get it. Other guys have had coaches where they're pushing a kid. They get it. Obviously, you're not on that level yet. Maybe someday, hopefully. Seems like you got some nice chops to be a coach. So think about something like that. Obviously, if you were part of a big, you know, big match when I was a junior, I pinned a guy for Bethel Park to move on in the WPIAA playoffs. So that was mine. So something like that, my friend.
I think it would have been my, the college, like, grade level stuff with, like, it was my second year. It was the West Liberty match after coming back from my injury. I pinned the West Liberty heavyweight. It was just
there.
It was a hoorah moment. I got off the mat screaming. I went in that match, like, intense. I was sprinting back to the middle of the mat. The crowd was going crazy. I remember he stood up. I went to lift return him, failed miserably. I remember in the back of my head, I went straight to my back because I didn't cut in hard enough. So my instant reaction, like, I'm not giving up. I bench pressed him off of me to flip him over, and I got the pin from that. And I looked at Coach screaming. I looked at the team. We're all yelling and roaring. One of the highlights of probably my favorite pin, my best pin, all from a bad lifted return. Really bad lifted return.
Isaiah, good stuff. Good stuff. Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out with me. Do you have anything else before I leave you go?
What got you into podcasting?
Buddy, that's a big question, but that's a good one. So I guess really what got me into podcasting is first of all, I love wrestling. I grew up wrestling. I'm a West Day guy. So I think that I used to listen to a fantasy football podcast. I'm a fantasy football nut. So I used to listen to them way, way, way back when, like 2000, like 10, 12. So then after that, I used to get on the road, and when I used to work, I used to just listen to podcasts like crazy. So I'm like, man, WPIAA needs a podcast, something. Like there's yeah. You know, so I just started doing it, and here I am, dude, like 3 years later.
That's awesome.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that question, buddy. Good stuff.
No problem.
All right, bud. Well, good luck the rest of the season, and I'm so excited to see what you do down the stretch.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me on. This was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this.
All right, my friend. Tell Squealy I said what's up, and the boys I said what's up out there.
Will do. Will do.
All right, my man. All right. And that was Isaiah Vance, the heavyweight for UPJ. Interesting stuff there, man. He was... what more can you say? Just a joy to have on. Just really talked so openly and honest, just let himself just come out and be true. I was so happy to have him on and talked to him a little bit, and you know, doing big things. UPJ just seems to find him, and the fact that he's right down the street, Hempfield, just, you know, right over there in Johnstown, not far. It's good stuff. I'm really a big fan of Isaiah. Pumped for him to win that Midwest Classic. Those of you that aren't familiar with that Midwest Classic, you know, it's like the tournament in Division II. Like, you know, if you win that one, you have a very good chance to, you know, All-American, to, you know, place very high. You're going to get a good seed. That tournament is a very, very, very big test in the middle of the year. Well, I guess more at the early part of the year. But you go back and listen to any of the D2 coaches that I had on that were going to that tournament. They talked about how tough it was and how much of a, you know, a big test that was, and kind of like, you know, a totem pole to see where, measuring stick, if you will, to see where their guys are at. So, Isaiah, my man, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you so much for coming on and hanging out, dude. That was a lot of fun having you on. Even though you came on yesterday, still able to make it work. Very cool indeed. So the next thing I got, last couple things before I wind it down, I went on my soliloquy about how everyone needs to get into the gym and go watch wrestling. Don't watch me. I don't care if you watch me. I want you to go watch wrestling. So a couple things, man. Off of that, you know, as the season gets going, go to Powerade, pack that gym. And then when the team duels come up, you know, the sections, go to those, you know, that it's so much fun whenever you have two sides just going bloody murder over their kids and their wrestlers. That just makes the atmosphere, you know, that much better. So that brings us to the last couple things of business for the weekend. I'm stealing the infamous Wrestling Jesus's tweet, but WOW t-shirt winner of the week, WOW t-shirt week number three, the wrestler of the week. I'm super excited to name this one. Kaz and I talked about it before. Kaz told me he wasn't able to come on tonight. I confirmed with him, and he actually said the name before I did. So we're in complete agreement. Luke Willishow, you are the WOW t-shirt winner this week, week number three. Congratulations, Luke. I will be getting a t-shirt, sending it out your way, or, you know, I'll try to find you and give it to you. But yeah, you know, what more can I say other than WOW? My man pinned every single person he wrestled at King of the Mountain, pinned them all. Total wrestling time of 5 minutes and 58 seconds. Thank you, Mr. Wrestling Jesus, as always. So that was, you know, what more can you say? Super impressive. And I caught up with Coach Mears. You know, I talked about some of the guys in Coach Mears' lineup, and, you know, we talked specifically about Leo Joseph and Luke Willishow. You know, Leo Joseph, we talked about how he's able to wrestle his natural weight. So, he looked really good this weekend. But Luke Willishow, my man, is so impressive to watch. He can score from anywhere. He's so freaking long. He can cradle you from any position. You think you're not going to get a cradle put on you? Watch out. He's going to get one. And it's just, he's funky. He knows how to wrestle through all these different positions. And it's funny, man. I was talking to Coach Mears, and he was like, I really don't, you know, say too much. I just say he's leading with his right leg, and you can tell he takes a count in his head and, you know, hits it, you know, outside right leg single. But yeah, it was impressive to watch him. So, you know, I was behind the scorers table watching the finals. And when Luke Willishow stepped on the mat, they were like, oh, this is the kid that won the top hat OW. So that's out in, you know, the one that we talked about just with Coach Swink out in Williamsport. So, you know, they're like, oh, this kid's pretty good. You know, this he won the top, the kid that Luke was wrestling. Luke gets the kid takes a nice single, lifts him up. Luke snatches the ankle, takes him over and puts him right to his back, you know, in pure Luke Willishow fashion. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. I put it on my Twitter. But yeah, I was so impressed with Luke. No other thing to say, but WOW. You know, watching his match with Caden Harbert, he was able to get the fall in that match, and Caden looked pretty good and gave him everything he can handle. So yeah, man, I was just impressed with Luke Willischel to pin every single dude he's wrestled. Coach Mears said he has like 66 or 67 pins in his career. So not only are we looking out for his 100 wins, my man, we're looking out for 100 pins. That's ridiculous in itself. So, yeah, Luke Willischel, you are the week three WOW t-shirt winner. Congratulations. I'll get that t-shirt made up and we'll get it over to you some way, somehow, as soon as possible. But yeah, thank you guys. I believe that is all I have. Like I said, go out, go watch wrestling. There's freaking 50 matches across the Whitfield tomorrow, 30 matches across the Whitfield, whatever the hell it is. Go out, find one. There's got to be one within 10, 15 minutes of wherever you at. Find a match, go check it out. Support these kids. If you love wrestling, if you love Whitfield wrestling, I don't care where it's at, your local school, a school down the street, a match that you're interested and excited for. Like, I think I'm going out to Peters Township Bethel Park. That's going to be a dogfight. I'm excited for it. Go watch a match. Go support these kids. They deserve it. Coaches, good luck this weekend. Good luck this week. And, you know, I'm sure I will see you all at Powerade. But that is all I have for you guys. Thank you so much for spending the evening with me, hanging out, listen to a couple guys talk, listen to me talk a whole bunch. I'm not used to doing one by myself, but I think I did okay. Try to spit as much information out to you guys as possible, a little bit of my thoughts on things. So I enjoyed hanging out with you guys as always. But until next time, I will see you all very soon. That is it for this edition of Near Falls in the Whitfield. Love, Yens. See you soon.